Why stand you here all the day idle? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lenten theme in our St. Gertrude the Great Church this year is reparation. And reparation means the act of making amends for the wrongs and injustices. However, we who today start this pre-Lenten season should not consider ourselves innocent victims offering our lives in reparation, but rather we must see ourselves belonging to the group of sinful men, atoning for sins against God. Saint Margaret Mary once saw in her vision the Sacred Heart of Jesus ignored and ridiculed, and the Catholic answer to this ridicule must be reparation, and this is done through adoration, prayer, and sacrifice. Today we begin our penitential season of the year, counting the days until our Lord overthrows death by his resurrection. Today the Church puts on the penitential dress of purple, and we also put on our own purple dress of reparation to remind ourselves that the season of public penance and humiliation is now approaching. This Sunday is called Septuagesima, that is the 70th, not only because it is about 70 days before Easter, but also because the Jews' captivity in Babylon, away from God and his temple, which prefigured mankind's banishment from God because of sin, lasted 70 years. The Gospel of this Sunday contains the parable of the father of the family who, when hiring workmen to labor in his vineyard, reproved those whom he found idling their time. And when the evening came, he paid all the laborers with the same salary. It is not the length of one's life which determines one's place in heaven, but whether he obeyed God's voice when the call came and worked with perseverance, living according to the faith until the last day of his life. Dear faithful, do you wish to be among those who will receive the payment from the Master? But is that possible if you are lukewarm and slothful in the service of God? Do you stand all day idle? This parable of our Lord was intended to put some salutary fear in his listeners. We must be faithful to the work to which God has called us and perform carefully all the duties which fall to our lot. Thinking oneself as a free traveler to heaven is deadly poison, which, with regular and sufficient amounts, makes you being cut away from the Master's service. We must recognize the fact that God can very well get along without us, and that it is a privilege to be called to work in his vineyard. I want to give you today and the example how dangerous it is to become an idle servant of God. The great King Solomon was in his youth an exemplary servant of God. He dedicated a magnificent temple to worship the true God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He prayed there in this way, "That thy eyes be opened upon this house night and day, upon the house whereof thou sayest, my name shall be there, that thou hear the request of thy servant and of thy people Israel, whatsoever they shall pray for in this place, and thou shalt hear in the place of thy habitation in heaven. And when thou hast heard, thou shalt be merciful." Solomon's prayer was pleasing to God because he did not pray for riches or long life, but for far higher gifts, forgiveness and humility and place in heaven. This shows that we must not pray only for temporal blessings, such as health, good home, or peace, and so on, but above all for higher and more precious gifts, such as the forgiveness of sins, virtue, and especially for the grace to do our duty in our own state of life. But because of our imperfections, and in so unfortunately often, because of our stubbornness, the Church has with grave concern strictly obliged the faithful to confess their sins at least once within the time of 1 year. She also obliges everyone to receive Holy Communion during Easter time, and to neglect to do so is a mortal sin. Our Lord said before his Passion, which is now fast approaching, "With desire I have desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer." She also obliged us to come to Holy Mass every Sunday. After all, a church, no matter how small it may be, where Holy Mass is celebrated, is much more glorious than Solomon's temple, since not only is God's name there, but God himself resides there, waiting, desiring to be our nourishment and atonement for all the past sins committed by mankind during the week past. But as glorious as was the beginning of Solomon's reign, his end was deplorable. He was an old man when his heart was corrupted by pagan women, and this king, until now so wise, became so blind and depraved that in order to please these women, he offered incense to false gods and built temples to them. The reason why the great and glorious kingdom of David was divided into two parts was the sin of his son Solomon. Solomon rebelled, and his rebellion against God brought also the rebellion of his people. The revolt and sedition arose among the people because Solomon, blinded as he was, had overtaxed and oppressed the people, so that he could build palaces for the pagan women who had turned him away from God. Things were chaotic when Solomon died. His kingdom was crumbling to pieces, and he who had once been a great and God-fearing, powerful king died without honor. Dear faithful, God calls so many from the billions of people on earth to become his servants. But to this loving call, so many answer with a cold heart. And that is why he asks today, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" Know that being idle does not necessarily mean that you lie on the couch the whole day watching TV or playing video games. In the biblical sense of the word, being idle means neglecting one's job in the Lord's vineyard, that is the Catholic Church. To that idle class, the 11th hour has now arrived, those who need to eat the fruits of the vineyard, that is to do penance and participate to his Holy Eucharist. Solomon's example is looming upon us. It is truly a scary thought that a big part of the Old Testament, truly some of its most beautiful parts, might have been written by someone who was called to labor on a vineyard in early stage of his life, but was sent away and opened his eyes in hell. St. Paul writes about the same matter in today's epistle, "But I chastise my body and bring it into servitude, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, myself become reprobate." Fear of the Lord led St. Paul to mortify his own body. For a Catholic who wants to be saved, standing idle is not an option. Because of original sin, the body has to be conquered. It has to be submitted to its proper role as a humble instrument of God. And any work which is done against this goal makes one a reprobate, the one whom the Master sends away from his vineyard. To those who murmured against his justice, he said, "Take that which is thine and go. Or is it not lawful for me to do that I will?" Now with the purple season having started, we see with our own eyes that the time of collecting our own harvest in Lord's vineyard is fast approaching, and it is mortally dangerous to stay away. "And that which shall be just I will give you." You could work 3 jobs, stay up day and night, building a big, beautiful house for yourself and your family. But, dear faithful, if you fail to work for God's vineyard, well, then you might just as well not to work at all. At the hour of your death, everything goes down into the pit. You can take nothing with you except your soul, which has to stand the just judgment of your Creator. At that hour, how bitterly one regrets that he stood idle and let the others work for the Lord, which is the only work in this world which builds lasting foundation in the future life. And don't ever think that, "Oh, that could never happen to me." Just think of Solomon, look back and see how humble he was at the dedication of the temple, how he cast himself on his knees and prayed so beautifully, and then think how he first became indifferent about the worship of the true God, then gradually started building temples to false gods, and finally apostatized completely to idolatry. Solomon neglected the sacrifice to true God. He grew cold in devotion. Instead of a heart of flesh, his heart turned cold, like the gold with which he decorated his filthy pagan temples. By so doing, Solomon denied his faith and offended his people. And how miserable was his end! God commanded him to get rid of his idols, and he refused. Imagine, God commands, and man, who is dust and ashes, refuses. And God spoke to another prophet and told that the kingdom would be taken away from Solomon because he had abandoned the God of his father. And after Solomon died, the mighty kingdom was torn to 2 pieces. The northern kingdom of Judah lasted for 250 years. During that time, it had 19 kings from 10 different families, all of whom did evil in the sight of God. The southern kingdom of Judah lasted 400 years. It had 20 kings, all of the family of David, of whom majority were wicked. And finally, despite all the warnings of God's prophets, many of whom were killed by their own people, the patience of the merciful God was exhausted. Ruin fell to God's people, Jerusalem was given up to fire and pillage, Solomon's temple itself was consumed by fire, and the people who survived the slaughter were led into captivity in Babylon, and the number of years of that captivity was septuagesima, 70. And all this because of the apostasy of one man who grew cold to the service of God's vineyard, all because he rather chose to become, as St. Paul writes to today's saint, St. Timothy, a follower of filthy lucre. Dear faithful, when today you start to prepare to your penitential season, do that in the spirit of reparation. By attending faithfully and regularly the sacrifice of the Mass, you pay homage to Almighty God in reparation for all the outrages this poor human race commits daily, for blasphemy, sacrilegious murder of the innocent. By confessing your sins, you can hear how all your past sins and idleness in God's service are forgiven to you. And partaking to the Holy Eucharist, you come united to that sweet Savior of our fallen human race, who was dismissed by the world which loved luxury more than God. You don't know how much time God has allotted you to make use of his call to work for his vineyard, and it is surely implied that those who murmur against their master's liberality run the terrible risk of being sent away. Take that which is thine and go, the master said. Solomon's horrid example teaches that it is never too late to lose your soul, but today's gospel teaches that it is never too late to save it either. So shall the last be first and the first last. Reparation means to change the affection of your heart from lucre to the master of the vineyard, even when this means throwing away those things which in past have given you pleasure. On this approaching Lent, our little church gives you an opportunity to give a piece of your heart to our bruised and battered Lord. The Jews wanted the return of Solomon in all his pomp and circumstance, but instead they got the humble and modest Lord Jesus, whom they mocked, scourged, spat on, tortured, and crucified. So ask yourself, do you also rather want all the glitter and vanishing luxuries of life and choose those instead of the hard way of penance and self-denial? God forbid it should be so. Even if you are yourself bruised and battered, left outside and unhired, maybe for years, it is to you whom the church cries out today, why are you standing here all day idle? Come to work in my vineyard. No matter how long or how much our Lord's sacred heart has been weighed down by your sins, now it's time to let him change your heart, change it from the heart of stone to the heart of flesh. May your heart be fervor in reparation for your sins to receive our Lord in his body and blood for many times to come. And may your time of standing idle be now changed into loving watch at the foot of his cross until you finally see him rising glorious and immortal on Easter Sunday as an infallible mark that you will also rise with him to eternal paradise. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.